Been asked to read the scripture on the card, Psalms 108. And Brother Derek, thumbs up. You did a very good job. I appreciate it. All the points, you know, they were well pointed, and you stayed on track. That was really good. The title of our brother's message, Brother Moran, titles this The Weapon of the Prayer Closet. You'll notice the last verse, it says, "Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies." Psalm 108. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of my hand. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, who hast cast us off? And wilt not thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. I think we realize that Jesus tells us how to deal with our physical enemies through non-resistance and doing good. But over in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, we're told that we do wrestle in a spiritual warfare. And the armor of God is described there. You're familiar with it, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet with the gospel truth, everything's held together with the truth, and the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. But then he goes on to say, praying always. And the Apostle Paul was very familiar with the Roman armor. And when the Roman legions would clash with the enemy, it was hand-to-hand combat. And what the Roman soldiers also carried was this short javelin-type thing with a heavy weight on it. And as they approached the enemy, they would throw this, and that would stick in the enemy's shield, and it was heavy. It would bring their shield down. And then they would draw their sword, the gladius, and they would fight. And, you know, that's what prayer does. I mean, we have a real enemy. The Word of God is effective. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I think God will, if we are consistent in prayer, God will bring down the resistance of the enemy so the Holy Spirit can work. And that's what we need to do for Brother Marlon this week. Pray that Satan's hold and the sins in our hearts, that God would be able to work among us. And so we need to come to him in prayer. And let's be consistent. I know I prayed my heart out, and God didn't seem to answer. I think you've experienced that. There have been other times when I said a simple prayer and I was overwhelmed at what God has done. And it's all in the context that Brother Derek mentioned this morning, committing to God's will. So let's, all who are able, let's kneel and pray to our God.
Well, we say good morning. We've come to a place that I've thought about much. For quite a few years, I've been thinking about this day. And I recognize my inability and my weakness. But I want to share with you a few thoughts before I begin the message that gave me encouragement. I've been thinking about a couple of these verses for a number of weeks. And then on Sunday evening, Brother Wilbur had a message on the verses just prior to the verses I was considering. And I believe his message was for me by the Holy Spirit. And as I was thinking about coming here, and I thought about the wisdom that is represented here, the experience, I was intimidated. I was affected by the fear of what man might think. My mind went to Moses back in Exodus chapter 4. God said to Moses, in my own words, I'm going to use you to bring my people out of Egypt. And through that conversation, eventually Moses said, I'm not eloquent of speech, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And I thought, Lord, that's how I feel. I'm not worthy. I'm not eloquent. I'm not well learned. I'm not highly educated. But the encouragement part came a couple of verses later. The Lord said unto Moses, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with thy mouth, teach thee what thou shalt say. And I found encouragement, great encouragement in that. And then Sunday evening, Brother Wilbur had a message on what happened just before this in that chapter. God said to Moses, when he was telling Moses that he was going to use him to lead him out of Egypt, Moses said, they're not going to believe me. And God said to Moses, what is in thy hand? Moses said, a rod. It's a stick. God said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground and became a serpent. God said, take it by the tail. He took it and it became a stick again. And then he told Moses to put his hand in his coat and he pulled his hand out and it was full of leprosy. He told him to put it back and he put it back. And it pulled it out the second time and it was as his other flesh. And then God had Moses, I believe it was, pour water out onto the ground and it turned to blood. And the lesson to me was, God can use my sticks. The message that I bring, the sticks that I lay down, God can use mightily. Think of what God did with that stick of Moses. He parted the Red Sea. He brought the plagues on Egypt. He helped Joshua be victorious in battle over the Amalekites when Moses held the stick up. It's the same God that we are here to worship today. And that is my prayer and my desire, that the sticks that I have put forth, that God can turn and will turn into his message and into his glory. I trust that we've come this morning not to hear what I have to say, but to hear what the Holy Spirit has for us. Revival comes only by prayer. We can have huge crowds. We can have wonderful singing. We can have eloquent messages. But we need the Spirit of God to have revival. And I trust that we are praying, falling on our faces before God and saying, Lord, if there's anything in my life, I welcome your convicting power to cleanse me, to revive me, and to make me whole again. So we crave a interest in your prayers this week. This has been quite a journey for me. But it's only because God loves me, because it's been good for me. And it's challenged me. John Greenleaf Whittier stood in speechless wonder, gazing at Niagara Falls. He marveled at the milky water and foam as it hurled itself down into the canyon below, and was amazed at the thunder of its waters. But he was yet more astonished when an Indian plucked his sleeve and said, an enemy is coming. "How do you know?" asked Whittier. "Because," replied the warrior, "I heard a twig break." John Whittier had heard nothing but the thundering of the waters, yet the sensitive ears of the alert hunter had heard the snapping of a twig above the roar of those raging waters. One has to wonder, with the roar of the jet engine, with the noise of our culture, with the cry for pleasure that is all around us, have we lost an ear for the voice of God? Or are we like the Indian? Is our ear trained to the voice of God? Or is all the noise of our culture and our world drowning him out? We're in a battle, and that is why I titled the message "The Weapon of the Prayer Closet." We're in a battle, a raging battle. Can we hear the commanding voice of our chief? Can we hear him? So as we begin the message, we think about prayer. We're thinking about prayer, and it's just very encouraging and exciting to think that God has orchestrated that we think about prayer for Sunday school, for the message this morning, and this message tonight. I believe we all have room to grow in prayer. My mind goes to David in the battle with Goliath. David had a confidence in his God. And this morning as I was meditating, my mind went to there in 1 Samuel when David went to his brothers before the battle with Goliath. What was David's concern? What gave him the courage? What gave him the strength to go into battle against Goliath? He was concerned that the God of Israel, his name was going to be defied. Who is this man that is trying to defy the army of God? David's concern was for the name of his God. We are not in a physical battle like David. We don't have to carry a sword like Brother George referred to, but we are on a spiritual battle. We have a battle plan that is very effective. We have an enemy that is greatly trained, an enemy that has been in battle for years and years and years. He knows what he's doing. He is very sharp. He is very cunning. He is very deceptive. But the Lord God has given us a weapon, and many times we fail to use it. Many times we're not efficient with it as we should be. In the physical battle of today, a general going into battle will study his enemy. And he's going to look for the weak spots. He's going to look for the places that are vulnerable to his enemy. He's going to look for places that he can sneak in and take them out. And I believe the prayer closet is a weak spot. And Satan knows it. And if he can take us out, if he can get us in our weak spot, if he can take over our prayer closet, he is on his way to victory. And that is going to be our challenge this morning. And we protect and we use our weapon. There was a conference of ministers in South Africa in 1912. The occasion of the conference was for the purpose of determining through deep personal examination what was the cause of the low state of the spiritual life that marked the church. The conclusion that they came to at the end of the meeting, along with the confession of many, was the sin of prayerlessness. I believe we can be guilty of the sin of prayerlessness if we are not actively and purposely striving to grow in our prayer life. Yeah, we can have our normal prayers. We can say prayer before our meals. We can say prayer before we go to bed. And I believe still be guilty of the sin of prayerlessness. Andrew Murray said this, "People say they have no time and that the heart's desire for prayer is lacking. They do not know how to spend half an hour with God in prayer. It is not that they absolutely do not pray. They pray every day, but they have no joy in prayer. If a friend comes to visit them, they make time, even at the cost of sacrifice, for the sake of enjoying conversation with them. Yes, they have time for everything that they really interest them, but no time to practice fellowship with God and delight themselves in Him. They find time for a creature that can be a service to them. But day after day, month after month passes, and there is no time to spend an hour with God. Do not our hearts begin to acknowledge what a dishonor this is to God, that we dare say we cannot find time for fellowship with Him? If this sin begins to appear plain to us, will we not with deep shame cry out, 'Woe is me, for I am undone'? And to you and to myself, I ask, how much time do we spend with God in prayer? Do we set time aside every day that we, by ourselves, find a place that is quiet to commune with Him? Nothing, I believe, is so detrimental and devastating to the spiritual life of individuals and to our congregation as our church body is the lack of prayer. It's the pulse of our spiritual life. By the life of secret prayer, the condition of the heart is revealed. By the life of secret prayer, the condition of the heart is revealed. And I believe that statement might hurt us. It might cut a little bit, but I believe it's true. Even though prayer as a child can be so simple, they can pray, yet it is the highest and holiest work which man can do. It's fellowship with the unseen, the most holy God, the most holy one. It's communion with God, and we neglect it. Communion with the one who is all wise, the one who is all knowing, all powerful, everywhere at all times, holy, just, righteous. He is going to be our judge. He is our redeemer. And we neglect our time with Him. So we find ourselves in a battle, a spiritual battle. Our enemy is looking for our weakness. He's looking for our weak spots. But we have a weapon, and that's the weak spot. He's wanting to get a hold of that weapon. Are we protecting it? It is unmatched to our enemy. He has nothing that can compare to our prayer life. Are we using it? Are we efficient with it? Does it, in our day, as we might say, does it fit our hand? As you think about whatever else we might do in life for a living, things fit our hands. Does secret prayer, does the prayer closet fit our hand? E.M. Bounds said, "The primary need of the church," now listen to this, "the primary need of the church is not men with money or men of brains, but the primary need of the church is men of prayer. Men great and influential in other times, but small in prayer, cannot do the work Almighty God has set out for His church to do. God does not conduct His work solely with men of education or of wealth or of business capacity. Education, money, and business skills are all worthy and important skills, but if they are the primary skill of the workers of the work of the church will suffer and fail. God's cause does not suffer through lack of divine ability. His mission and goals do not suffer because He is not able, but it is because of the lack of prayer ability in men. As I studied this and prepared for this, I've brought this message at our own congregation. I was challenged, and again, I'm challenged in my prayer life. Am I truly a praying man? Are you truly a praying man or woman seeking the face of God? Much of the work of our churches are done perhaps, and I say perhaps, by people that are not truly praying men and women. We know how to pray our simple prayers, but are they a bucket list of wants and wishes? I've been guilty of this. Father, help us to have a good day. I ask you for protection and for safety. Pray that we might have a good day. Pray that you would be with this person, and pray you would be with that person. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that what prayer's for? I believe it's all right in its moment. At certain times, prayer is worship. Worship of the holy God of heaven. And we bow before him. And we come into his presence through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. We are to be worshiping him. And our needs and our wants and our wishes are to be on the back burner. We are to be fully surrendered and submitted. And we're going to look at that tonight, to the will of God. And God, I pray that you would be honored and you would be glorified. And help me, Father, to be the man or the woman that you want me to be today. And help me to be victorious through the power of your Holy Spirit today, that I might be the person you want me to be. And he'll take care of those other details. And you know, if he so chooses that we're in an accident, that's his will. And he has a plan. I don't think it's anything wrong to pray for safety, but God's got that under control. We just need to seek his face and seek his will. Many times we find ourselves busy. I know it's a challenge for me when perhaps I have to get up early and go to work. Do I get up in time? I can speak to my Father before I rush off into the day. I don't always do it, but it's valuable. Even if I do got to get up at 3 instead of 3:30, or whatever it might be, it's a challenge to me to do that, that I might have that quiet time before I get busy to speak to God. Many times we find ourselves in prayer and we're not focused. How many of you have been in prayer and your mind has wandered off and you got to, wait a minute, I'm praying. I'm guilty of that. And I think that's one of the things of the prayer closet. We get alone, have a special place. Maybe it's out in one of your buildings outside where you can verbally, audibly talk to God. Speak to him out loud, and you will be able to stay more focused in your prayer. There is certainly importance in our being able to pray at any moment. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. So we recognize and understand that, yes, throughout the day we can immediately speak to our Father. And he is there and he listens. And that is proper. 1 Thessalonians 3:10, we see that night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Praying all night. Taking time to enter into the presence of the Almighty God. How well are we doing? How well are we following that battle plan that God has given us? Are we just out there bouncing around? Were we focused soldiers and warriors for our Savior, for our God? Are we using that strategy? If we're lacking in prayer, we're lacking in strength. And we must recognize that Satan, our enemy, is not someone to play around with. Just like to take a little bit to look at Jesus as our perfect example. We see in Scripture, as we looked at this morning there in Luke 11, and Derek made mention of it, but you know, the disciples, there's nowhere in Scripture the disciple says, "Lord, teach us to preach." Does anybody know that? But they say, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." There's so much value in being able to be in prayer. And then in Matthew 6:6, as we already read this morning, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." We need to take time to get alone with God, where only the ear of God can hear us. We also read in Luke 5:15 and 16, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." All kinds of people were coming to Jesus wanting healed and wanting this and wanting that. And Jesus took care of that need. But then even Jesus himself, after ministry, recognized the importance and the need of prayer. It says he withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed. He could have thought, "Well, I've had a busy day. I'm tired. I'm going to bed." But he withdrew himself into the wilderness to pray. It says in Luke 6:12, "And it came to pass in those days they went out into a mountaintop to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." Even Jesus himself saw the importance of praying all night to God. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I'm wondering how many of us have prayed all night. I have not. But I wonder how many have. Jesus saw it necessary to pray all night to his Father. Matthew 14:22-23, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone." And then in Mark 1, we see he got up early in the morning. It says, "A great way while before day he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Sacrificing sleep for communion with his Father. Are you willing to sacrifice sleep to speak to God? It's a challenge to me. "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him away by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." If the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, as he walked this earth, if he saw it necessary to get time alone with God, how much more important it is for you and I. We read in 1 Timothy, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting." It's a challenge to us. As I said before, we're in a serious battle. Our enemy is serious. His mission is to destroy you. And men, if he can't destroy you, and mothers, if he can't destroy you, his mission is to destroy your children. His mission is to destroy us. And he's not kidding around. Andrew Murray said, "We might have thought that every child of God would have availed himself with joy of such an invitation," speaking of Matthew 6, "to go into the closet and pray." What is the response? There comes a cry from all lands that prayer in the inner chamber is, as a general rule, neglected by those who call themselves believers. Many make no use of it. They go to church, they confess Christ, but they know little of the personal communication with God. Many make little use of it, but in a spirit of haste, and more as a matter of custom or of the easing of conscience. Therefore, they cannot speak of any joy or blessing in it. And what is sadder, many who know something of its blessedness confess that they know little about faithful, regular, and happy fellowship with the Father. E.M. Bounds said, "The church is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men." He also said, "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more, and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer." Here's a few men that had a tremendous prayer life. A man by the name of Payson, it is said that he wore the hardwood boards in his floor. He wore grooves into the floor where his knees pressed so often in prayer. Sir Henry Havelock always spent the first 2 hours of each day alone with God. Bishop Andrews spent the greatest part of 5 hours every day in prayer and devotion. Dr. Judson said that people should arrange your affairs, if possible, so that you can leisurely devote 2 or 3 hours every day, not merely to devotional exercises, but to the very act of secret prayer and commune with God. Are we protecting the vulnerable, but yet very powerful location and weapon for the battle that we are in? Have we allowed Satan to gain control of our place of defense? Have we given up our most effective weapon? John Bunyan said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." You know, the beauty of this is, with the God that we serve, if we feel this morning that we, which I believe we all recognize our need for growth, but if we recognize that we have failed greatly, our God is there, as was mentioned this morning, with open arms. And he will forgive us, and he will restore us, and we can be reconciled. And as I chose that theme song, can this be a testimony for us? "Far from my thoughts, vain world be gone. Let my religious hours alone. Fain would my eyes my Savior see. I wait a visit, Lord, from thee." Do we experience that throughout the week? "Far from my thoughts, vain world be gone. I wait a visit, Lord, from thee." Do we meet the Father alone throughout the week? We're going to offer an invitation this morning. And we're going to make it the first verse. We're going to give an invitation for anyone that is here. As I mentioned, I believe we all recognize a need for growth. But if there's anyone here this morning that would like to drive that stake, so to speak, in their prayer life, that they can go back to and say, "I recommitted my prayer life to God." If you would like to do that publicly this morning, I ask you to stand. And then in the remainder of the song, we open the invitation to anyone that would have a need and would like to accept Christ or rededicate their lives. We welcome you at this time. What number do we have? 684. 684 in the black hymnal.